Hi FM, your station of choice since 2008.
I feel a bit weird that we're crossing to Australia to speak to Bianca Nogrady. She's a freelance science journalist and regular contributor to Wired UK. Bianca, good morning. I need to explain why that song to you. I mean, you know the song. So, in fact, we spoke about a story, which is quite interesting because the first discussion we're going to have is about exercise. But so apparently over the weekend, there was something in Sydney called the Hyrox Race, H-Y-R-O-X. And if you don't know what that is, I didn't, so you don't need to feel anything. But apparently this is this whole competitive event where you do all sorts of different types of exercise. And a guy and his girlfriend competed together. And then she landed up passing out because, I don't know, she obviously overdid it. And he didn't stop. He carried on doing his thing and eventually finished the race, completed it, but without her, while paramedics were attending to her. Which obviously was just a little bit strange in terms of his behavior. So that was the story that we were talking about, and listeners were weighing in on what they thought about his behavior. And then, of course, we had to find a song to match that. So that was the context for that. How are you, by the way?
Good. That sounds very Australian male, actually.
Does it?
We were actually just half of the course, yes.
We were just saying this is the most male, old school boyfriend thing ever. I mean, leave her lying on the floor while paramedics deal with her and you go and complete the race.
Yeah, that doesn't surprise me. That doesn't not particularly not about Australian men.
Oh my.
I mean, they have their qualities, but yes. Chivalry isn't one of them.
All right. Well, there you go. You heard it from an Australian. So I'm not making this up. Okay, let's talk about exercise. Keeping fit, obviously, is important. It's a slog. I mean, I hate it, but we know how important it is. What is the best approach to exercise and long-term results?
Yeah, so this story particularly speaks to me because my whole life people have told me that I should do yoga. And every time I've tried that, I've reminded how much I hate yoga.
Right.
And it's because I'm a very physical, like I like to move a lot. And, you know, and that sort of moving slowly and holding uncomfortable positions in a room full of people who are trying not to fart really does not spark joy for me. And it turns out that this is not unusual, that our personalities make a big difference to the kind of exercise that actually works for us.
Right.
And this has been studied now. This research team essentially were looking at trying different types of exercise with this group of 132 people. And then they were looking at how these participants rated the exercise, whether they liked it or not, how much they enjoyed it, according to their personality traits. And so they'd done this study of their personality traits as well. And they were looking at things like how extroverted they were, how conscientious they were, how neurotic they were, whether they were kind of open to new experiences. And they found that people who scored high on extroversion, so very outgoing types, they much preferred high-intensity exercise sessions, but with others around. So things like teamwork, you know, gym classes, always doing it with people.
With people.
With people. Whereas people who scored higher on neuroticism, so who were more neurotic, preferred to work out in private, which again makes sense. And they were fine with high intensity exercise, but they needed to have short breaks in between. And then people who were kind of, you know, very conscientious, but also open to new experiences, they kind of liked everything. They were, you know, as long as it was sort of, they were curious about all things, they were happy to try all things. And it didn't mean that you got more physical benefits. So it didn't, you know, when people were matched to the right exercise, it wasn't that they got their heart rate up higher or that they, they exercised more strenuously, but they enjoyed it more. And given that less than a quarter of us actually get the amount of physical activity in a week that is recommended, if you can tailor your exercise to something that actually you enjoy, there's much more likelihood that you're going to stick with it and do it on a regular basis. So it's really important, I think, message that if you really hate doing exercise,
yeah,
then just find something that you love.
Find something else. Absolutely right. And it's so interesting because exactly that yoga conversation, it pertains to so many things. But, you know, why don't you go and do Pilates or yoga or running, whatever it is? But because maybe it just doesn't work for you.
It just, yeah, exactly. And I think, you know, they say this about diets as well, that the best diet is the one you stick to. And I think the same goes for exercise, that some people love running. I actually hate running, but I do go running because I have a great friend that I run with, and we basically just talk at each other the whole time.
That's the point. That's exactly right.
Exactly.
You found the way to make it enjoyable, and therefore you do it.
Exactly. And so if you can find, you know, and there are so many ways to get physical activity. It's not like you have to go to the gym. You can swim, you can do, you know, fitness workouts in your own home, which we all got into as a family in the COVID lockdowns.
Yes,
and so,
yes.
You know, there are so many different ways in which we can get physical exercise in a day. It's really, I guess, about listening to your body and what do you enjoy?
Absolutely. A dropped egg has a greater chance of staying intact if it lands on the side compared to on its point. I would have thought it would be exactly the opposite.
Indeed. And this is the thing. There is this common belief that the egg is stronger and less likely to crack if it's dropped onto its top or bottom.
Yes.
But now science has demonstrated that that is not, in fact, the case. And I'm sure there's many people who've endured that school or workplace team building exercise where you have to, you know, work together as a team and build a structure that can protect an egg when it's dropped, and
right.
You know, you're given like 3 matchsticks and a tea bag. Well, the trick is do it on its side. So the scientists did 180 drop tests, and they were dropping them very, very, I mean, a lot of eggs. Can you imagine the mess?
Mm.
And so they were dropping them from only 8 millimeters onto a hard surface. So, you know, a very small drop. But they found that when the eggs were dropped vertically, so either on the top or bottom, about half of them cracked. But then when they were dropped sideways, so they were dropped on their side, less than 10% of them cracked from the same height. And so when they looked at this more closely, they subjected some more eggs. So they went through a lot of eggs. To compression tests. So they were measuring the amount of force that was required to crack the egg. It was actually similar whether you were cracking them vertically or horizontally, but the horizontal egg, the shell, when it was squished horizontally, was actually a lot more flexible. So it could absorb a little bit more force before cracking. And so it may be that when you're dropping it on its side, it's just got less, it's able to actually buffer that impact a little bit and absorb some of that energy. But, I mean, it's interesting, the idea of the eggs being stronger on their top or bottom, it's actually probably to do with the fact that they are actually stiffer when they're compressed vertically, but that actually also makes them more brittle. So
exactly.
It depends if you're trying to squish down from the top or drop it from the side. When you're dropping it, you want it to absorb a little bit of that force, whereas if you're slowly compressing it from the top, you want it to kind of, in some ways, withstand that force better.
Well, it's almost like they say that drunk people often do better in car accidents because they're a little bit more relaxed than somebody who isn't, ironically, and therefore they aren't, for the exact same reason, their limbs are a little bit loose and they don't endure the same kind of shock to the system. We've got a few minutes. I do want to ask you about the DNA of a ancient Egyptian man. Now, it's apparently taken 40 years to extract the mummy's DNA. Tell us about this.
Yeah, I was surprised by this because I figure we have so many mummies and you know, human remains from ancient Egypt. I'd kind of assumed that we must have extracted some DNA from them, but in fact we haven't until now in terms of a full genome sequence. And it turns out that not only is the mummification process itself quite damaging to DNA, but the hot temperature and the dryness of the Egyptian desert are also really destructive to DNA, which is incredibly fragile. So that's one of the reasons why it has taken so long. But this particular person was male, and he wasn't actually mummified, so that might be why they were able to actually extract some of the DNA. So they had his bones and teeth, which were discovered in a ceramic pot, and he was 4,500 years old. Well, he would be if he was alive. And he was actually found in 1902. So the remains have been in a museum in the UK all of this time. And so it was only just relatively recently that they've been able to actually really, because we now have the technology to extract that DNA and study it, because it was inside the teeth where there's an extra layer of enamel that gives protection against the elements.
Amazing. Absolutely incredible. That is where we leave it. We've learned a lot of things this morning. Thanks to Bianca Nogrady. She's a freelance science journalist, regular contributor to Wired UK. And she's been standing in this morning for Dr. Carl. It's about to go 7:30. I'm Howard Feldman. Good morning.